The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
This morning I want to talk about a spiritual gift that I believe is so necessary in this day, in this hour. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that there are gifts, there's administrations, and there's operations, but they're all manifested by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the scripture that we look to when we talk about the nine spiritual gifts. I don't like to talk about nine spiritual gifts anymore. What I like to talk about is the manifestation of Holy Spirit through the believer. They're manifestations that function in gifts and in operations and in administrations, but they're manifestations of Holy Spirit. And I think we shoot ourselves in the foot when we think that there's only nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Right? And so we have, as the church, we've kind of limited ourselves a little bit when we look at that section of Scripture that is really about the manifestations, and gifts is just one of the ways that the manifestation functions. It functions also through administrations and through operations. So it goes through and it talks about some manifestations that are critically important to the believer. A word of knowledge, a word of, you know, the prophetic word, words of wisdom, gifts of healing. But there's one in there particular that I really want to zero in on today that I believe in this hour is needed more than we've ever needed it, and that is the gift of the discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits. Discernment is... a judicial... Hang on, I got to look up the meaning. I forgot the meaning. A judicial estimation. That's what discernment is. It's a judge's estimation of something that's true. The discerning of spirits for the believer is discerning good from evil, right from wrong, truth from error. And this doesn't happen by a lot of head knowledge, okay? It's a spiritual manifestation. There is something inside the believer that triggers discernment. And we'll go into that a little bit here. So this is the way the kingdom works. Jesus fully expected for people to be able to discern truth without having it explained to them piece by piece, bit by bit, by fantastic teachings that tickle the ears. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 13, let's go there for just a minute. I've got a lot of scripture today, and I'm really wrestling with how much to release, and this is just a passion right now for me. Matthew 13, chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables? What's the deal, Jesus? Why don't you just tell us who you are? Why don't you just proclaim to them, 'I am the Messiah, I'm the Savior, I'm here, this is it. Come on, get on board. This is truth. And I can show you all the scriptures in the Old Testament that speak of me.'" And Jesus didn't do that. He spoke in parables. "Jesus, why don't you just tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like?" And he speaks in parables. Now, that's a little contrary to the Western way of thinking. We like to have everything with the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and we just like for somebody to tell us what's right and what's wrong. You want a pastor that'll just tell you what's right and what's wrong in your life, right? How many, good luck with that. How many know that that's not Bob and that's not me? For some reason, we are okay with people discovering things for themselves. I have actually discovered that when people can discover truth for themselves, they own it. And when I have all of my doctrinal ducks in a row and I blast people with the Word of God, this is this and this and this and this, I love the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. I treasure the Word of God. My life is based on the Word of God. My foundations. But I have found that I can use the Word of God like a whipping post. You know, I mean, I can use the Word of God like a, you know, something that can either destroy or build up. And I've found that when I try to tell people what they need to believe and what they need to do and how they need to act, I've found that it really doesn't go anywhere. I've found that if I'm patient and present truths to people and allow them to make a decision or to discover it for themselves, they run a lot farther, a lot longer, a lot more true with the truth that they have received. Amen? So here's Jesus. He says, it's the reason that I speak in parables, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. That's a critical piece of what we're looking at here today. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Okay, so how many know that Jesus is not speaking here about natural eyesight? And he's not speaking about natural hearing. Jesus is speaking about a hearing and a seeing and a perceiving that comes from inside. He's talking about this thing called spiritual discernment. Jesus wasn't shy about speaking great mysteries and just letting it lay without giving all sorts of instruction and all sorts of teaching on it. He's got a revival going. There's like 3,000 people hanging out, and man, everybody's really excited. And then he comes across with the thing like, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or else you don't have any part of me. And it's like, whoa, that's a hard saying. Jesus, would you please explain that to us? Well, sure I will. I'm the bread of life. You got to eat me. My blood is life. This is how you live. My blood. You got to eat my blood and drink your, eat my body and drink my blood. Thanks for clarifying that, Jesus. And a bunch of people departed. Why? Because their hearts had grown dull. Their hearts had grown dull. As a believer, where is your heart in sharpness, in hearing, in discerning what's happening all around you? Where is your heart? Do you, when you judge situations, when you judge things that you're going through, when you try to get understanding, you're living in a parable, do you try to understand that from a mental ascent, an intellectual ascent? Or is there something inside of you that just needs to be opened up in a new way? As I tell you, we're all living mysteries, right? Amen. Okay. How many of you have this thing figured out called life? All of your circumstances, everything that's happened to you, everything that's going to happen to you, you've just got this thing nailed down. You know exactly what it's all about. We're living in mystery. Much of the time, we're living in mystery. Let's just get that fact down. I mean, if you've got the life that you know how to live and you've got it all figured out from A to Z, would you come lay hands on me? Just do something to impart that to me. But we are called to live from the heart. We're called to live from discernment. We're called to walk from discernment. So there were some folks there, the disciples, and what did they say? They said, well, Jesus looks at them and says, are you guys going to leave me too? Jesus, you know, I've just given this hard thing. Everybody else is leaving. And Peter says, we can't. Where would we go? You have the words of life. There's something inside me that burns. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense what you're saying. It doesn't line up with my theology. I mean, you're supposed to come and kick butt on the Romans. You're supposed to set us free from the Roman oppression, but you're talking you're going to die? Well, I know you're going to die someday, Jesus, but after you said it? See, Jesus, you have the words of life. The things you say don't always make sense to us. I don't understand it. But you have the words of life, and there's something inside me that comes alive when I hear the words of life. Have you ever had somebody prophetically speak over you? We're called to judge prophecy, right? Now, how many of us, when we have a prophetic word being released over us, we start to think intellectually? How does this line up with where I've been, where I'm going, what I have, what my agenda is, you know? And I don't know about you, that's the tendency. I can tend to do that unless I catch myself in the middle of it and I go, oh, what's happening in my spirit right now? What's happening inside me right now, beyond what I'm hearing, beyond the things that are being spoken? Because, man, some of that stuff that's being spoken is way bigger than me. I haven't even thought of some of these things before. And it doesn't make sense to me intellectually. But, oh, there's something inside of me that's burning. I know something in my knower that what he's saying is true. And then you spend the next 5 years trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and you look at what you're doing and you remember the prophetic word. You go, oh, this is that. This happened. God spoke it. I didn't even try to make it happen with my intellect. And somehow God has me walking where he spoke years ago. See, this is discernment. The things that we live in, the things that we do, the things that we judge from day to day. How do we know truth? I mean, I know we can listen to CNN. There's truth. All the newscasters, that's truth, right? It's news. There's somebody saying it. It's got to be true, right? You know, I'm not really too much of a skeptical person. If somebody tells me something, I believe them. I don't need to set myself up as a judge and say, well, is this person telling me the truth or isn't this person telling me the truth? I listen to people, I give them the benefit of the doubt, and I go my way. Why? Because in most people's lives, I don't have the place to bring judgment upon them or to bring that kind of a reconciliation, if you will, on them. They're just talking, they're telling me what they want to tell me. Hey, great, awesome, way to go. Do I have to know if they're telling me the truth or not? I really don't. I don't. Doesn't much matter to me. Now, there are other relationships where you just understand that there is something that I need to know if this is true or not. Amen. And in counseling is a great place where this gift of discernment really comes alive. Is that truth? Is that their perception of truth? Because many times people will tell you their perception of truth. This is reality to them. But in the grand scheme of things, judged by the light of the truth of the Word of God, it's like, it doesn't quite work, you know? And you know that in your knower. Situations, I want to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Very familiar scriptures. In this day, this age where we are living, we need to practice discernment. Here's a situation where the first century church needed to practice discernment. Okay, so this is a living example of a church that needed to practice discernment. Verse 1, chapter 4, 1 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and you have and have overcome them because he who is in you, say that, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Yeah, they're in the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So what's going on in the first century church? John probably wrote this from Ephesus, probably to surrounding churches in Asia Minor. People that he had had connection with, people that he had an apostolic responsibility over. And there were people coming into their circumstances that looked so wise. They confessed that they were of Christ, they said all the right things, but they had a taint to their belief system. The taint to their belief system was that they didn't really believe that Jesus had come in the flesh. That's why if you read John's writing, so much of it is the one that we handled. We heard him. We touched him. We know him. He was flesh and blood. See, but there were these intellectualists that came along. Their name is Gnosticism, Gnostics. A lot of that's happening right now. And their foundation was that salvation could come through intellectualism. That you could just learn enough about God and learn enough to be saved. You could learn enough of the scriptures so that that would become your salvation. And they didn't know anything about having a seed in your spirit. And to them, it didn't make sense that Jesus could be absolutely, completely, and totally holy with a flesh and blood body, because they believed all carnality, all flesh, was evil in nature. So Jesus really couldn't have had a physical body. See, this is their reasoning that was going along, and they were so convincing with this that they were actually moving people away from the truth of the gospel. Why is it so important that Jesus had a body? Because God gave dominion to mankind, to an Adamite. And it had to be an Adamite that won dominion back. He had to, it behooved him, it says in Hebrews, to be made like his brothers, flesh and blood. He took on flesh and blood. And yet, even in that state of having flesh and blood, he was absolutely sinless. He qualified to be the spotless Lamb of God. He qualified to take your sin and my sin upon him. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. He took your sin to hell, and because of righteousness, he was raised. See, that's the foundation. That's the simplest gospel that we can preach this morning. That Jesus took on flesh and blood so that he could redeem you and me from the curse of the law. Well, it was just a little bit too simple for the intellectualists of that day. And they always had arguments. How many have found that there are times where there's something that's really, you kind of got it nailed, you understand what the scripture says, but then there's somebody that comes and starts to, has God really said? Has God really said that this sin is really sin? Has God really said that this is the way that you have to? Has God really, you know, and they start to question, and they will wrestle, actually wrestle the scriptures in order to bring a confusion. See, discernment has something in here that says, no, what you're saying does not align. Yeah. With the word of God. What you're saying does not align with the spirit of God that's inside of me, that I know him and he knows me. And no, I will not follow after that thing that you're trying to draw me out on. See, this was the spirit of Antichrist. I know some of the translations capitalized the Antichrist, but that wasn't the original writing. It was a spirit. It was an Antichrist spirit, a spirit that was opposed to Christ. And there were many Antichrists in the world. And there are many Antichrists in the world today. Right? There's a spirit that opposes Christ. There's only five places in the New Testament that you find the word Antichrist, and it's all the same. It's a spirit. It's nothing to be bowed down to, worshiped like it's this great being that is going to take over the world. That's not what the scripture says. There's other things, and I'm not going to go into that. But what's being wrestled with in 1 John here was this Antichrist spirit that was trying to deceive, bring people into a deception, and it was through intellectualism. It was get away from what you know in your knower, and let's study this thing out. And they laid out the best laid plan to show why Jesus couldn't have a physical body. I want to drop back off over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Let's say that together. I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. I have an anointing, a smearing, a part of Holy Spirit that is in me, a part of the Godhead, the part of Christ that is in me that knows all truth. We know all truth. Does that mean I have never believed a lie? No, it does not. There is a potential if I will learn to touch base with discernment, if I will learn to touch base with how God communicates with me, if I'll learn to know truth because the Spirit of truth dwells in me. And when something comes in agreement with something, understand its truth. And when something opposes that, I know, nope, that's not God. I'm sorry, I'm not perfected in that yet. Either are you. Probably. However, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you can know all things. That means you can know all truth. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who's a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What's that? The truth that they heard from the beginning, that Jesus came in the flesh, was crucified, died, was buried, was resurrected on the third day. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. There is an anointing in you that knows truth. Now, at this point, you might be saying, well, Pastor Dave, you really don't care for teachers, do you? You don't really care for people that lay things out line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, and just really go after the Word of God. I do. I do. But I'll tell you, I don't care who the teacher is. I hear with my hearer as I'm hearing the teacher expound biblical truth. And I love biblical truth. And when I, you know, I don't care if it's Bob. Pastor Bob, is it okay with you if I discern with my discerner what you're saying is true?
Please do.
There you go. We have permission. And you have permission today. Today you have permission. Is what I'm speaking burning something inside? Is it going inside and saying, yeah, I have an anointing? And that if Pastor Dave says something that doesn't quite align with what's in agreement with my anointing, I have permission. You have permission. You have permission to not to listen to Pastor Dave.
Amen.
Okay? That fair enough? Someday you'll get the revelation through teaching, then you'll agree with me. No. I value teaching. Yeah, go around the mountain again. I value teaching. I value the Word of God. I love having the Word of God expounded upon. And I'll tell you, there are times where I have said something out of adjustment in my inner man, and the Word of God has come and taught me by anointed teachers, by anointed preachers, and it's convinced me of something else. The religious spirit is something that the Word of God will come against. When I first started coming to this church 23 years ago, gosh, that's a long time. One of the things that drew me to this church was Bob was preaching some things about freedom and liberty that I hadn't heard anywhere else. I had a mindset on me about what church was supposed to look like, about what a pastor was supposed to look like, about how the rules and regulations were supposed to work. And when Bob started preaching something of freedom, it was like, all I know is there's something in here that is going, yes. I remember the first times I started going to hear Doug Stanton. How many know Doug Stanton? Love Doug Stanton. He would preach. And I remember sitting in the chair thinking, I love what he's preaching. I've heard all these stories before, and I've heard, but there's something happening inside here. As he's preaching, there's something happening inside here that is coming alive as he's preaching. There was a discernment that was coming that was saying, Dave, you got some religious ideologies, some things that you've treasured and you've held on to for so long. I'm coming in conflict with those things, and you'll know the truth by what's going on inside as you hear the Word of God. And I started to get free. I latched onto that, and teach me more, you know? Break that thing off of me, this thing that I've treasured, this thing that I've trafficked in, this thing I pastored in times past. Break it. Why? Because something was coming alive in here. That's discernment. The spirit of discernment. That which divides truth from error. See, when I read the news, and I don't read much of it, I don't look at much news. I'm sorry, I don't. That's just not where I'm at. Some of you are. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. I say that sincerely. Here's where I get my news. It's on Facebook, and I just breeze through, and everybody's posting opinions, right? And you can get every opinion you want on Facebook. So I just kind of scroll through, and all of a sudden something will go in my spirit that says, you should read that one. And I'll read that one, and I'll read that with discernment. And so is this, you know, what slant? Is it the conservatives or the liberals that are putting their own slant on this? You know, how many know the conservatives have been as at fault as the liberals? Did I just say that in a conservative church? I did just say that in a conservative church. because people, we want people to think like us. We want to control and manipulate people into, why won't you think like I think? And therefore, I'm going to put my best argument on paper so that you'll think like I think. And I'm going to convince you to think like I think. And we don't allow for discernment. You know, my best arguments that I have are flawed. And I need people around me to say, Dave, that's flawed. I need people around me that have... Oh, I can't remember. There's times where we'll be sitting around and somebody will challenge me as the pastor. And it's like, oh, they challenged the pastor. I love it. I think it's great because the pastor doesn't have the corner of the market on truth. And I need people around me to help me see things at times from a different perspective, a different slant. You have an anointing in you. It resides in you. You abide in that anointing. That anointing abides in you. Jesus said it, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll do the things that I'm commanding you. How do we know the commandments of the Lord? It's not by reading the 10. You know the commandment of the Lord by he who dwells within you, he who abides in you, the discernment that is inside of you. That's how you know the commandments of the Lord. And the commandments of the Lord will never go against this. But how many know that not all the commandments that Jesus could give us is contained in here? I mean, does this tell you to drive the speed limit? You know, well, maybe it does. I don't know. I'm being serious here. I really am being serious here. There's anointing that abides in you, leads you into truth for life, so that you can live in life, so that you can live from the King's perspective. And it's anointing that abides in you. The worst thing that can happen is I go to Ken's Miracles in the Marketplace, great thing, and there everything is good, and it's up front, and it's I love it. But if I receive from Ken some truth, and it's truth, absolute truth, but if I try to build on Ken's revelation, if I say, well, Ken does it, I can do it. Well, Ken is this miracle worker. I got to be this miracle worker. See what I'm saying? There is a training of this abiding spirit that dwells within you. That's good. I'll follow Ken, and I'll try to do the things that Ken does, and I want to do the things that Ken does, but I'm saying that if you try to just go and do what the great people are doing without this abiding presence teaching you, leading you, discerning for you, showing you the way you need to walk, when to, when not to. This abiding in Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll know. And I speak these things so that you can have joy and that your joy will be full. I tell you, there's nothing more joyful than following the abiding anointing that's within and walking in obedience to it. There's nothing more miserable than being confused about that which abides within and just taking stabs at Christianity, trying to do what other people do. That's misery. But you have an anointing that abides within you. Just some very simple, what does that anointing look like? How do you know when you're following the anointing and when you're just chasing after somebody else's dream? How do you know that? One of the ways I think is really good is understanding wisdom. Let's look at James chapter 3. Verse 13. In Hebrews, the scripture says that those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5. Those who, because you use discernment, you have your senses exercised to discern good and evil. See, what we're really talking about here is inward senses. We'll get to James in a minute. What we're really talking about is inward senses. You know that for every exterior sense you have inward senses. You have inner eyes, you have inner ears, you have inner feeling, you have inner smell. Have you, you know, even the world knows this. You remember the Three Stooges? Who's old enough to remember the Three Stooges? Go ahead, be brave. Don't be ashamed about your age. The Three Stooges. Remember how they'd walk into something and he'd go, "Ah, something smells fishy here." You know? You know, I know what he's saying. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody's trying to sell you something and you just go, "Ah, something smells fishy here. I can't intellectually encounter what it is, but inside, something smells fishy here." You know, and it doesn't carry the fragrance of Christ. See, and when we recognize, when we have our senses exercised to be able to smell the beautiful fragrance of Christ and to fell the counterfeit that's dead and is rotting. Right?
That's right.
We have these inner senses. You can just feel something. I'm a feeler. If the strongest inner sense that I have is kind of, I'm a feeler. Oh, but Dave, you can't go by feelings. No, you can't go by feelings. You can't go by emotions. You can't. Intellectual feelings, intellectual emotions, you're right. I can't go by those. But the sense of feel that I have in the spirit realm, yes, I can. By the hearing of the Spirit, when I hear something and it's just carrying a discordant note. You ever, that ever happened to you? Have you ever heard somebody preaching a message and there's like a discordant note going off in your head? And it's like, it just doesn't, I can't put my finger on it. It just doesn't carry the rhythm of heaven. You know, it's just, now, I know what I'm preaching here today is really scary. This is really scary because this is subjective. And I'm giving you all permission to go with something that you can't intellectually defend or, you know, that you know, getting off into that woo-woo, scary spiritual world, you know, scary spiritual world. I tell you, though, the most valuable things in the kingdom of God are also the most risky things. I can't. Yay! Somebody's not scared. Yay! I know you're not. Yeah. And I'm not scared either. I mean, we're just going to run with this thing. So how do you know when you're discerning something of the Spirit? How do you do that? Well, number one, practice. Practice. Be willing to fail. Be willing to take risk. Set people around you that you can bounce things off of. Bob's my sounding board. When I'm just feeling something, you know, Bob, what do you think of this? You know, and he usually has a pretty accurate vision on what I'm wrestling with. Set good people around you. We're not meant to walk this thing alone. And how do you sharpen your senses? Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And we walk in relationship with people that we love and that we trust. Not necessarily yes men. Not necessarily people that will just say yes to anything. Well, this is what I'm feeling. Well, go with it, Dave. Yeah. I'm on board. No, no, I want people who will walk in a discernment with me. My elders and their wives, I'll tell you what, they are amazing. They have helped me. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that I popped off to these poor people. And they will always take and talk and reconcile. But I can see what's happening is they're processing it in their spirit. It comes out with words, and it comes out with scripture, and it comes out with different sayings that are intellectual. But you can see that it's all incubating in the spirit before it comes out. We have amazing elders meetings, by the way. You know, have you ever heard the horror stories of leadership meetings? Church leadership meetings? I've heard some really, really some horror stories. We have an amazing group of leaders here.
Amen.
Just, I mean, I can trust these people with my life. I can trust them with the harebrained ideas for them to gently say, nah, Dave, you're kind of cracked on that one. You know, I really do. And surround yourself with some good and godly people. And people that think differently than you. I love surrounding myself with somebody who doesn't think like I do. They have different ideas. They have different giftings, different callings. Bob and I don't always think alike. I love it. How many have noticed that Bob and I are different? Slightly.
So are we.
Yeah, and so are you. Yeah, me and Susie. How many have noticed that me and Susie are different? You know, and I treasure people who see things from a different way than I do. Why? Because it keeps my discerner honest. It keeps my discerner true. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. How do you know if you've discerned something? Because of the fruit. See, that's the problem with discernment, is the fruit doesn't come till later. Sometimes you need to make a decision for something out of discernment, out of understanding, out of wisdom, and the fruit really doesn't show up till later. That's a bummer. I wish the fruit came first so we could just follow the fruit, make Fruit Loops. Let him show you by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. Here's where discernment comes. A discernment whether something is earthly, sensual, demonic, if there's envy, self-seeking, confusion, and evil things, then that is not of God. How do you know those things? I have to regularly check my heart that the decision that I'm making, is this self-seeking? And I'm talking simple things like, what car should I buy? Where should I live? You know, Susie and I wrestled with the thing for a while. Should we move to Elk River because we're ministering in Elk River? I can't tell you how. When the Lord spoke to us and said, what do you guys want to do? Oh, really? We have a say in this? God said, yeah. And we discerned was that we should just stay where we're at. We love that. But we had to lay some self-seeking. We had to lay some things on the table. What I'm finding is a critical spirit will keep you from discernment. If you have presuppositions, even with some doctrinal issues, sometimes they'll keep your discernment from leading you into truth. If I have bitterness against somebody, when they speak, do you think that I'm going to hear their wisdom, no matter how wise it is? It will keep me from discerning the truth that that person carries. Sometimes you see people and their lives just don't quite look like somebody you'd want to trust? Has this ever happened? And if you have a prejudice, a preconceived idea of that person, you may not hear the wisdom from God that can come through them.
Yeah, good.
I want to be able to receive from a child.
Amen.
Well, Dave, what sense does that make? They don't have all the doctrinal ducks in a row. They don't know the end from the beginning. They don't. I have heard in here. I have heard in my hearer truth from children.
Amen.
See, but the wisdom that's from below doesn't take that into account. It has to make sense intellectually. It has to be able to be taught line upon line that this is the way it's going to happen. There can be envy in those things. See, there is a demonic wisdom. And how many know that sometimes Satan shows up like an angel of light? He can say all the right things. He can say all the good things. But it'll be deception unless you know in your knower. We are entering into a time like that. We've been in a time like that. Let's get real. You know, we've been there. So the wisdom that's from above is first pure. There's no hidden agenda. This morning, I don't have a hidden agenda in preaching this to you. My hidden agenda is just this, that Christ would be formed in you. That you would know the knower. That you would know in your knower. That you would know discernment. That you'd be able to know truth by what happens inside of you. And not necessarily what's going on around you. Can you interpret situations by discernment? Yes. And we need to pay attention to that. But if you're just paying attention to the circumstances going on in our nation and you're not hearing something in your discerner, I tell you, you can be in a lot of fear. You can be in a lot of turmoil. If you just go by the intellectual thing, well, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, oh, this is terrible. What are we going to do? You know, the church is going to hell in a handbasket. Help! I'll tell you what, there is a discernment right now. I believe there are more true believers. I'm not talking about people who just say, Lord, Lord. I believe there's more true believers in our nation. And they're on their faces praying. They're appealing to the God of heaven. They're standing like Abraham stood for Sodom and Gomorrah and said, God, no, not on our watch, no. Yeah, we deserve. Yeah, but no, God, there's more than five righteous in this city of San Francisco. There's more than a handful of righteous in this nation. No, God, no. Tell you, when you're discerning, understanding the heartbeat and the will of God, He's not willing that any should perish. And He is not willing that any should die without salvation and encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't take delight in judgment. That's not His delight. We can stand like the Moses. No, God, they're your people, remember? This is your nation. Do you remember? God, do you remember the foundations that you laid into this nation in our founding fathers? God, do you remember the way that you gave wisdom for a government that produced freedom? God, do you remember? No, God, we stand in the gap.
Hallelujah.
What's discernment? See, if you're thinking of this thing intellectually, it's, yep, God, we deserve it. Well, I'll tell you what, He's going to have to strike me first because I deserve it. I deserve judgment. There isn't a person sitting here that does not deserve judgment. And I tell you, there is something in the heartbeat of the true believer. The religious believer will always say, well, now I'm righteous in Jesus. Okay, I've got this thing dicked. Oops, did I just say that? Oh, I repent. Gosh, that's from about 40 years ago. I've got this thing nailed down. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Anyways, you get the idea where I'm going with that. When we, in a religious spirit, think that we have achieved something where we no longer deserve what Jesus took, then we are wrong. Stand in the gap, church. Stand in the gap for our nation. Stand in the gap for those that don't deserve it. Stand in the gap for the people at your work that you absolutely, they just drive you up a wall. Stand in the gap for those that are persecuting you. are using you.
Yes.
Stand in the gap.
Yes.
That's the heartbeat of the Father.
Yes.
And I tell you, it doesn't take much discernment to know that. But if you know it in your knower, it'll shift the way you see the world, the way you see the lost. I'm going to close with Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs, the book of wisdom. How do you get this wisdom? How do you get this discernment? There is a discernment that is placed in you sovereignly by the seed of God that was injected in you when you were born again. His seed was injected into the womb of your spirit. And there is a potential for great discernment. How do you grow in this discernment? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. What's that doing? Do you see the picture here?
Yes.
Do you see the picture? I'm listening, God. I have got to have wisdom in this circumstance, in what's happening in my life right now. God, I've got some decisions to make. I want to apply my heart to understanding. I want to hear the things that you hear. Wipe out everything, all my prejudices, all my preconceived ideas, everything that I thought I knew intellectually. God, wipe it out so that I can hear. Let me understand. I'm inclining my ear to wisdom. I am listening. Ah, my son, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that keeps you honest in your discernment. I don't dare to call something godly that is not godly. I don't dare to be dishonest with the discerner that lives within me and proclaims that evil is good and good is evil. I don't dare. Incline your ear. Listen, hear, treasure. Find the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. There is a treasure chest in heaven called wisdom, and it's stored up for the upright. It's stored for you and me. If you're living in fear of the future, of the fear of the days we're living in, if you're living in fear of your salvation, in the fear of, has Jesus really done enough? I'll tell you, there is wisdom from on high, and it's stored up for the righteous. And it is accessible. He doesn't just store that up there and say, well, someday when you get to heaven, you'll get this. That's not my God. The anointing that abides in you is full of wisdom. The anointing that abides in you is full of understanding. The anointing that abides in you is full of truth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's just cry out for wisdom, for anointing. Come on, just make your voice known on high. Oh God. Oh God, Lord, we do cry out to you for wisdom. We cry out to you for understanding. God, we declare that we are absolutely in need of being in touch with our knower, God, being in touch with discernment, with the reality from the kingdom's perspective. God, we declare that we can't do this thing on our own. God, that it's not a matter of intellectualism, but God, it's an intellect that is ruled by discernment, that is ruled by wisdom, that is ruled by understanding. God, we thank you for intellect. God, I thank you for brilliant people. I thank you for the Einsteins who in their spirit knew you, that knew discernment, and they used their intellect, fantastic intellect, to build things in the kingdom. But Father, I'm asking for just a pursuit of a people who will treasure wisdom, understanding, discernment, knowledge above all else. God, above position, above fame, above titles. God, work in us a heart of wisdom. Lord, this passionate pursuit of the realities of the kingdom of heaven, the realities of an eternal God who is love, who demonstrates love, who loved me while I was yet a sinner. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Father, I pray an impartation, God, of wisdom, of understanding, of discernment upon us as a people. God, that we will check with our inner man before we make any decisions with our intellect. God, whether it's about people, whether it's about circumstances, whether it's about a move we're making, a car we're buying, a relationship that we're having. Father, I pray for increase in discernment, increase in the manifestation of Holy Spirit in the realm of discernment. Holy Spirit, that you would manifest in us in discernment, and that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that would perceive and comprehend what the will of the Lord is. God, it's only with the discernment that we will be able to identify where there is a satanic angel of light that looks so good, yet at the core it's rotten. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We give you permission to rule in our decision making, to know wisdom and understanding. God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Real short. Yep, you can. You can be seated for a second here.
I had a word in part when there was prophecies coming forth. Dave's message brought it in full, very brief. Lord would say to us, this is a time for dreams to be dreamed, visions to be written out, plans to be implemented, and decisions to be made based on the wisdom that we'll get from the Lord.
That's it. That's it. Yes, yes. That is a good word. See, we're called to build a kingdom. We're called to build a kingdom. Solomon built his kingdom with wisdom, to the point where the Queen of Sheba came and she fainted just as she observed his servants and the way he set the table. How many want to build the kingdom with wisdom?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Bless you. We'll have some teams up here. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. We'll pray for you. There's coffee out in the lobby. Give somebody a hug, love on somebody, and bless you as you walk in wisdom and discernment. Amen.